Welcome to another episode of EY India Insights podcast, part of our Energy Transition Dialogue series. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in today's episode, we're exploring how green investments are driving India's green energy transition in 2025. With record levels of capital flowing into clean energy, green hydrogen, electric mobility, and climate-resilient infrastructure, India is fast becoming a global hub for sustainable finance. We are here to talk about the key sectors attracting investment, how policy and ESG frameworks are shaping decisions, and what more can be done to accelerate progress. Joining me is Kapil Bansal, partner at EY Parthenon, who leads the EY's energy transition and decarbonization practice. He's been closely tracking the green finance landscape and brings deep insights into the trends and opportunities ahead. Kapil, once again, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Pallavi.
Kapil, to start off, India has made significant green investments recently. So what are the key areas that are attracting the most capital?
For India to transition as per the ambition laid down by our Honorable Prime Minister, we need to become net zero by 2070. We have to achieve 500 gigawatts of renewable energy. We reduce our emission by 50%. In the absolute term, 1 billion tons of CO2 has to be reduced. So those are some of the goals that have been laid down by our Honorable Prime Minister by 2030. And if I look from those goals, predominantly the most attractive value proposition for any private player or a public sector enterprise has been historically in the space of renewable energy across the value chain, whether it is manufacturing of solar panels or it is the generation of renewable energy through solar, wind, or hybrid of solar plus wind. That has been the significant area. Lately, from last 1 year, with the battery prices going down, the hybrid of solar plus batteries or solar plus wind plus battery storages is becoming a prominent investment through which both private and public investments are happening. That's one bucket of key investments. The second bucket is on the consumer side, which is coming through, is the transition towards electric mobility. And that's where you look at significant investments that has happened in the e-mobility space, again, both in the manufacturing and the equipment services side, which is battery management systems or electric management systems. And then finally, towards the overall, energy as a service or battery as a service investment that has happened through infrastructures, charging infrastructures, battery swapping. So these are some of the big investment portfolios in the green energy space where almost 70 to 75% of investment has been done. With the inception of some of the national missions, such as National Green Hydrogen Mission or National Coal Gasification Mission, and a lot of the different production-linked incentive in this space, battery manufacturing, your green hydrogen development as well as electrolyzer manufacturing has also seen significant investment both from the public and the private space. So if I put it in a nutshell, 80% of green investments have been made recently in India on renewable energy from manufacturing to its generation, e-mobility space from the manufacturing to its services, and then also on the different PLI schemes which have come on the battery manufacturing to electrolyzer manufacturing as well as on the green hydrogen manufacturing side of the things.
Thank you, Kapil. Now for our listeners, could you also highlight any specific trends or data points from our report that indicate how green finance is reshaping India's energy landscape in 2025?
In our recent report, when we have looked into the data set, we have looked specifically on the private equity investment and venture capital investment. When I look at the overall green financing, there has been a significant development on three different parameters. One, there is a big awareness of green financing in different forms and shapes by the financial institutes. Second, there is an affordability towards the the green financing because it comes at a lower cost of capital than your internal rate of financing. Third, there is also accessibility to the green financing. So a lot of the companies, conglomerates and as well as climate tech startups have started looking towards this side of the financing to ensure that they are able to make a differentiated offering in the market. And that's why we have seen a significant trend towards green investment. To give an example from each of them, venture capitalists have started doing investment a lot on the newer technologies. For example, Loham, which is converting black mass into rare earth and critical minerals that are used back in the EVs and defense. So that itself is showing significant investment from different venture capitalists to PEs to growth investment, as an example. If you look from a renewable sector, a lot of the big portfolio, big bucket bulge investment companies like KKR, Blackstones, Actis, I Squared Capitals have done investment in the renewable generation space, where we have seen bigger deals happening. And finally, if you look at the consolidation has already started taking place with the objectives taken by public sector companies like ONGCs, Indian Oils, BPCL, NALCO, SAIL. They have created their own portfolio of green investment subsidiaries through which they are investing, and they are going for M&A activities through which they have acquired a lot of companies. For example, ONGC has recently acquired Ayana, JSW Energy has recently acquired O2 Power. So the consolidation has also started happening in this space.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, focusing on the investors' ecosystem, how are the private investors and international stakeholders responding to the India's green transition efforts?
As per our report, if you look at again, India has significantly shown increase of investment on the green transition funds, both from the international stakeholders as well as from domestic private investors. When we look from an international investors, the big ones who are there have established their captive platforms. An example in case is KKR has invested in a platform called Serentica, and Serentica is providing its renewable energies to not only captive Vedanta group of companies, but also to the C&I customers. Private investors are also looking towards growth in this space. Various private investors have looked into both e-mobility significantly. And again, there is a geographical distribution. If I look from a Bangalore standpoint of view, a lot of the players have done investment on the e-mobility side of the space. When I look from a Delhi region, a lot of the investment has been done on the renewable generation side of the things. When I look from a Mumbai region, a lot of the investments have been done both by private and international on equal mix of renewable generation, e-mobility space, as well as on the green hydrogen space of newer green investment portfolios.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, pivoting towards the ESG frameworks, what is the role of the ESG frameworks in guiding these green investments, and how mature is the current ESG ecosystem in India?
I think this is one of the most important development which has transitioned us towards the green financing. SEBI have regulated all the top 1,000 companies to report BRSR as a mandatory requirement. Earlier, it started with the top 250 by market cap, and then now it's been expanded to top 1,000 companies. These frameworks of reporting their sustainability reports, their ESG KPIs as a part of their annual reporting beyond just investor and financial reporting had led to awareness and willingness to invest in the green investment. That's number one. Number two, a lot of the companies are started looking towards ESG rating beyond the financial rating to help in their investment portfolio. So there are multiple ESG rating agencies now. On top of them is DJSI rating. This rating provides a company to understand how are they performing on all three parameters, environmental, social, and governance, as against their peers, to be defined as whether they can be in the main index of DJSI to secure lower cost of capital for their green investments that they are doing. And that has become a significant value for a lot of our clients to look at ESG framework, ESG reporting, as well as ESG rating. And working with some of these corporates in recent time, we have seen significant awareness at the boardroom and the promoter level to emphasize on adopting all the parameters of ESG rating and achieving a higher and leapfrog growth in their rating, so that all their key stakeholders, whether it is investors, their agencies through which they have been working with, government bodies, think tanks, customers, suppliers, everybody are conscious about how they are operating in an environmentally, socially, and highly governed atmosphere. Because in recent time, if you look at all three parameters are crucial. If governance has been failed, the companies can go bankrupt, and social elements should not be pure eye-washing, and it has to bring all the different parameters into a single consolidated manner. And obviously, finally, the most critical element is the environmental consciousness, so that we are reducing emissions, water positivity, as well as looking at biodiversity as a critical element in our day-to-day operation, in together bringing carbon neutrality or a long-term net zero goals, for which the capital investments are needed, which are coming through the green instruments that we have identified in our report.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, moving on to the technology aspect, are there any emerging technologies or business models disrupting the renewable energy space in India today?
I think that's an area that has been evolving very fast. Every quarter, things are changing. I'll break down this question on two parts. One is on the emerging technologies, and second part is on the various business models, because this is what we work with our all the major companies in the renewable space. So renewable has become a low-hanging fruit, both from the cost reduction as well as emission reduction standpoint of view. And there is a clear awareness about this to all my clients. Now, what we work upon is what's changing in the technology space. As I mentioned, earlier people were looking purely solar rooftop, which is behind the meter. Then they started looking in group in a group captive manner for solar only. But nowadays, with the declining cost curves, solar plus wind hybrid provides higher mix of renewable energy round the clock. And then as the battery prices has fallen significantly by 67% in the last 6 months, we observed solar plus BESS or solar plus wind plus BESS are providing round the clock at 80% level, which is equivalent to a PLF of any coal thermal power plant at the similar delivered cost basis. So that's the magnitude of newer technologies that are emerging in the renewable generation space. And the business models are also changing with the customer-oriented regulations that are coming from the CRC and the government policies towards domestic manufacturing. People are looking towards building group captive open access, even as low as 100 kilowatt level, through which the common users as well as the business users can adopt renewable energies in their energy mix using the policy benefits that are there. There are other policy benefits, like if you are using within the state or it's you bringing from interstate, there are exemptions that are provided in order to utilize the benefit of India's extensive one grid network. And finally, the business models are also evolving from various aspects of virtual power purchase agreements, where you can buy the power, which could be gray, but you can sell the renewable energy certificates to someone who needs it. So it is a transaction of power along with the green attributes, which are bringing different business models and revenue generation mechanisms in the overall context of renewable energy space in India, which is far beyond any country that would use observe in the global context.
Thank you, Kapil. And lastly, from a policy and regulatory standpoint, what more can be done to accelerate green investments flows in India?
So while a lot has been done on the policy standpoint of view and regulatory to make sure the adoption of green investments and green energy has been adopted by the users as well as businesses, what needs to be done is threefold. Number one, the policy definition should be standardized and harmonized so that there is a clear understanding of the word defined in the policy. For example, certain states have set contracted demand to a max of 30%. Now, people are confused, it's 30% of their demand or the 30% of the generation or 30% of the consumptions that they will do over the course of the year. So, clarity in the definition of policies are a must. And second point in that itself is that it should be harmonized. So what has been adopted at central level should be also adopted at the various state level. That's my second point, where, for example, central has said 10% of energy should be stored from a renewable point of view to establish a grid stability. Now that should, if 10% has been established by center, then all states should adopt that 10% norm. So that's the harmonization of it. The third element towards the regulatory standpoint of view is if there are incentives, then incentives should be provided at the manufacturing level. At the same time, there should be some penalties that should get that should be adopted if the mandates have been given to the consumer side. What I meant to say is recently, if the RCO, renewable consumption obligation is there for all the companies to adopt certain percentage of their renewable mix, and if they don't fulfill, then that penalty should be adopted from the companies to ensure that they enforce and adopt such green energy transition within their organization. Otherwise, it's all paperwork and nothing will translate into an actual ground level execution.
Thank you, Kapil. That brings us to the end of today's episode. As India accelerates its clean energy journey, green finance will remain a cornerstone of our collective success. Thank you, Kapil, once again for joining us today and sparing your time and sharing all these valuable insights on green investments.
It was my pleasure to have our discussion. Thank you, Pallavi, for providing this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Kapil. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. Please don't forget to follow and subscribe to the EY India Insights podcast for more expert conversation on sustainability and energy transition. Until next time, stay informed and stay inspired, and let's keep building a greener India.